We all know Peter Laviolette's a pretty good coach. Sometimes it's time for a different voice. And some people are skeptical about Craig's ability to be a head coach. They're not anymore with the job he's done.
Well, I don't know who those skeptics are, but
they're hiding. They're hiding
yeah,
now.
I guess they are hiding right now, yeah. I think with the start that the team got off to, and as you mentioned, the coaching change and all the different headlines that have kind of been bandied around since that start, I think the players and obviously the coaching staff and everybody's done a really good job of turning things around and buying into what Coach Berube's selling and, changing some attitudes and the way some guys are playing and playing better defensively, obviously getting good goaltending and from that, creating more offense and scoring some goals. So I like where our team's at right now. I like the way we're playing. You know, we're playing with a lot of speed and tenacity and grit, and you couple that with some offensive upside with a lot of skilled players up front, and you're a dangerous team.
Tightening things up, Chris, is it a team defense thing? I mean, you look individually at that blue line, and you know, not anybody really jumps out of you. And you look at a team like the Leafs here, who have talent on D, but it's been a tough thing all season, giving up chances and shots. What has been the model that the Flyers have employed here over the second half?
Well, you know, I absolutely believe it's team defense. You know, you can't just throw it on the defensemen. You can't just throw it on the goalies. You can't just throw it on the forwards. It's got to culminate with a group effort. And, I think the players have really done a great job of rallying around one another and deciding that, you know, they want to turn the page and prove everybody wrong that, you know, that start was an aberration and that they're a good team, and they've certainly showed that. And, as I said earlier, I like where the team's at. I like the way we're playing, and, you know, we're a fun team to watch and a hard team to play against, and that's a good 1-2 combo.
Chris Pronger joining us. A Stanley Cup championship, of course, has been there twice, and the two Olympic gold medals as well, a Hart Trophy, a Norris Trophy. He's in town for the Gatorade High Performance Hockey Summit. It's at the Hockey Hall of Fame on Braden Walker this morning. We're watching Randy Carlyle. He won the Stanley Cup with you in 2007. I think there's a few future Hall of Famers on that team, and if it all plays well for guys like Ryan Getzlaf, Corey Perry, they're going also. One of the most talented teams you've ever been on, and what's your recollection of Randy coaching that team that year?
Well, I mean, when you look at the way Randy coaches, you talk about Corey Perry and Ryan Getzlaf and Dustin Penner, second year players when I got there, and he was all about forcing them into learning a routine, learning how to prepare, teaching them how to prepare, teaching them the right way to play the game. It was all about teaching and developing those young guys and allowing us veterans to, you know, take part in that and kind of bring them along. They were obviously really, really good players at that time as well, but we had a number one line that allowed them to kind of be in the background. And to answer your question about Randy, he's just a hard-nosed coach that wants his teams to play hard and disciplined, and he got a lot out of us. And at the end of the day, when I got there, you know, the team, every player to a man, just wanted to win. It was, there wasn't any other agendas other than we want to win the Stanley Cup. That was it. There was no other goal. There was no other mantra other than we're going to win the Cup, and that's what we did.
Chris Pronger, our guest. Randy is now under the gun here, and you can imagine any coach would be. Thoughts on that? I mean, at what point, because you know the competitiveness of Randy Carlyle, he wants to win. It's not like he doesn't want his guys to play D. At what point does it just get to be too tough with a coach, and, you know, like you saw in Philly this year?
I don't know. I mean, you never want to see a coach fired. You never want to see a guy lose his job. I mean, sometimes change is needed. I'm not around this team, so I don't know the ins and outs of the situation. It's always a difficult pin to pull to fire a coach and, you know, make a change, especially this late in the year. I mean, obviously he's not going to get fired right now. So, I really couldn't tell you. I couldn't give a judgment one way or the other because I haven't watched their team enough. As a player, when your coach gets fired, you obviously, while the coach is taking the hit, you bear a lot of the brunt of him getting fired because you haven't done your job.
Chris Pronger, our guest. I wanted to ask you about this because this was an analogy I made a while ago, and talk about guys under heat. David Clarkson is kind of that guy here. He signs a big money free agent deal, and it's It's been a really tough year for a guy that was pretty good before in New Jersey. Now, you've been the new guy with a big salary in a new market before, and I remember when you were in Edmonton. And, I mean, you handled yourself very well, but do you remember Mike Pekka coming in? And this was a guy that...
He got abused.
Oh, yeah, he just got drilled by the fan base, and it wasn't until... Because he was great for you guys in the playoffs. He needed that second season, that second chance. How tough is it sometimes?
When you look at it, though, they tried to... He had always been a checking centerman. You know, that was able to contribute 15, 20 goals, 50 points. You know, he was a offensive producing checking center. And they had put him on the first line trying to make him into a number one center, and it just didn't work. He's not that type of player. He you know, just for whatever reason. And that got him into a funk, and then he got hurt. It was just he was all over the map. And then we're heading into the playoffs, and they made him our checking center, and he had a role that he was comfortable in, and you know, he performed great for us and had a great playoff. And you know, everybody gets comfortable in their role and where they play, how they play, how they're used. You know, and when you come to a new team, whether it be expectations are different, how they're using you are different, how they see you fit into their system and their team, and you know, maybe different than you've been used to playing and your role on your previous team and, you know, all those things, it can make for a difficult year, and you're probably seeing that with David.
Chris Pronger's joining us, the Gatorade High Performance Hockey Summit at the Hockey Hall of Fame. I want to ask you about the Olympics and whether guys in the middle of their career can't say it. It's almost like the media is ridiculous and they burn guys for saying it, but are you...
guys are ridiculous.
We are ridiculous.
You said it, not me.
Well, one of my favorite interviews with you was, I remember we talked to you the summer of 2009, and I loved that we asked you about the Olympics, and you rightly so thought it was ludicrous that people are predicting teams a year out. It's probably silly to predict Olympic teams 3 or 4 months out, given how guys play, guys can get injured, all that stuff.
Yep.
You guys
are nuts.
It's crazy. I know. People are productive.
I have my 2018 team already done.
I know. I figured you did. Yeah, with the power plays and penalty kill and everything.
Absolutely. Systems are already drawn up.
Are you almost as proud of the Olympic accomplishments as you are the Stanley Cup? Like I said, it's silly. We think Europeans can say that. Nobody burns them, and Canadians say it. And it's like, why not? It's an incredible achievement. It's best on best. Do you feel that way now in retrospect?
No, absolutely. You know, I think, you know, especially when you have people come to your house or you're talking about achievements and things that you've been able to accomplish in your career and the teams that you've been on, you know, the Olympics certainly come up and the gold medals and things like that. Great memories, great seeing how those teams kind of evolved and, you know, again, that long, slow and steady upward battle to playing your best hockey at the right time. And both the Canadian teams that I was involved with that won the gold were kind of in the same frame where you could say struggled early on. You know, we're trying to find an identity, trying to find a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And as the tournament progressed, got better and better and better, much like this year where, you know, it was a little bit different. I thought they were still playing pretty good, but folks in the media were all over certain players for not scoring and not doing this and not doing that. And at the end of the day, all you got to do is win a game by one goal, which ultimately they did against Latvia and then moved on from there. But, you know, I think when you have the talent and the skill and that type of stuff, and you see the way that team played this year, a total team defense buy-in. I mean, it was impressive. It was an absolute machine out there, wave after wave. I mean, you're watching teams, and you could just tell they're defeated in the first period. They were done. The way Canada played defense, it just back-checked. I mean, those forwards were flying.
Chris Pronger, I guess, before we let you go, I mean, science and technology, it's come such a long way in our sport. Tell us what you're doing with Gatorade and the High Performance Hockey Summit today.
Yeah, I just got invited to come up and talk a little bit about you know, mental preparation and you know, hydration, you know, during games. A lot of the nutritionists and trainers will speak more to that. But, you know, preparing your body and preparing your mind for the different challenges that you'll face, whether it be competing or in training, you know, how you push yourself to try to get to that next level and things that I did to, you know, push myself, and little games you play, you know, and the monotony of the summer and the training kicks in and you're, oh my God, I got another month before I skate and practice and all that stuff. You know, you got to make things, keep things fresh and make up new things to do. And, you know, it's part of it, but, you know, a lot of it is just, you know, the games that you play, and, you know, the little kids all the way up through to high-performance athletes.